Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for January 22nd, 2010.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
This week, we'll tell you why some bacteria rely on a single calcium atom for survival. We'll answer a listener's question about the safety of toilet seats. And we'll tell you about a team of scientists who are recreating red blood cells in the lab. But first, Suzanne Bard found out why the first line of defense against Alzheimer's disease could reside in the eye.
Alzheimer's disease is often detected only after it has already done irreparable damage to the brain. But scientists like University College London's Francesca Cordero are looking for ways to screen for the disease while it's still in its earliest stages.
There is a lot of evidence to suggest that many years pass between when the nerve cells start dying and when symptoms set in all the neurodegenerative diseases.
Using readily available laser cameras,
these are called scanning laser ophthalmoscopes,
she and her colleagues found evidence of early nerve cell death in the eyes of mice with a form of Alzheimer's.
We were able to show, for the first time in a living eye, that it was possible to see single cells in these different phases of cell death.
The researchers were then able to reverse the cell death by giving the mice an Alzheimer's drug. She says the imaging technique could also be used to identify the early stages of Alzheimer's disease in humans at a time when drugs are more likely to help reverse the disease.
Their chances of working would be much greater increased if they could be used early on in the disease process.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. Next, Justin Warner reports that researchers have discovered a microbial Achilles heel.
In order to move across a solid surface and infect a host, some bacteria form tiny leg-like projections called pili. The pili stick to the surface like grappling hooks, then retract to pull the bacteria along. Now, University of North Carolina biochemist Matthew Redenbaugh and his colleagues have found that all this hinges on a single calcium atom. His team looked at Pseudomonas, a bacterium that often creates opportunistic infections in hospital patients. They found that tiny molecular motors control the extension and retraction of the bacterial legs. In each motor is a protein that binds to one calcium atom.
And if you take that atom away, if you change the protein so that it can't bind to the calcium, the bacteria can't make any legs. And we were like, wow, that's really interesting. But what if we convinced the protein that it was always bound to calcium? So we made another change that made it seem like it, you know, was always had a calcium around. And then it made tons of legs, but it could never pull the legs back in. So in either case, it couldn't walk.
If scientists could somehow exploit this vulnerability, it could theoretically disable many dangerous bacteria, including the type that cause meningitis. However, Redenbaugh says that's much easier said than done. Researchers would have to find a way to target this protein without disrupting countless other calcium-driven systems in the human patient.
Thanks, Justin. Speaking of microbes, listener Amelia Vogel of Washington, D.C. wrote to ask whether any diseases could be spread via toilet seats and whether those paper seat covers you see in public restrooms actually do any good. For the answer, we turn to infectious disease specialist John McCullers at St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in Memphis. He says past studies have shown that sexually transmitted diseases, at least, cannot be spread via toilet seats.
Back in the 70s, there was this big scare about maybe being able to get sexually transmitted diseases, and there was a very comprehensive study done to look at that question that was published in New England Journal of Medicine and found there was no evidence that any of these STDs or sexually transmitted diseases could be transmitted by the toilet seat.
But he and his colleagues recently conducted a study to see if other infectious agents showed up on the seats. And they found traces of antibiotic-resistant MRSA bacteria, which can cause dangerous infections, on some toilet seats at their hospital.
We found that at a very low frequency, so maybe one out of every 30 toilet seats we looked at, we could find a pathogenic bacteria, this methicillin-resistant Staph aureus or MRSA. We could find that on toilet seats, and so there is the potential that people who came in contact with, you know, their skin came in contact with that could pick up MRSA from a toilet seat.
But still, he says they don't yet know whether that's enough bacteria to actually spread an infection. He says people with normal immune systems probably don't need to worry too much, but...
We're a cancer hospital, so we have a lot of immunocompromised children, and so, you know, any small amount could be significant.
As for toilet seat covers, he says no studies have ever been done to show if they help prevent infections or not.
We are not using toilet seat covers here because, you know, they're expensive and they create a problem with the plumbing and that, you know, they can clog up the plumbing if you flush them down and cause all sorts of issues that way, but we are... at least for our patients, installing these little alcohol sprays in the stall so the seat can be wiped off. We found that if you apply just simple cleaning to the toilet seat, like wiping it with an alcohol swipe, totally eliminated any bacteria that were there.
And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, you'll win a Science Update mug.
Thanks, Bob. Speaking of fighting antibiotic-resistant bacteria, scientists in Germany have isolated a germ-fighting protein from the Hydra, a tiny water organism. The new protein, called Arminin 1A, is effective against a variety of bacteria, including MRSA. The team is studying the Hydra and its relatives to see if they might produce other bacteria-fighting compounds.
And in other medical news, researchers in Japan have developed a nasal vaccine that stops the transmission of malaria by keeping the malaria parasite from breeding in mosquitoes. The researchers gave the vaccine to malaria-infected mice. When mosquitoes bit them, they took in antibodies that stopped the malaria parasites from reproducing. If it proves safe and effective in people, it could be one more tool to stop the spread of the disease. And for our final story this week, Suzanne says scientists are trying to develop better ways to deliver drugs to patients.
Pills and injections are the most common forms of drug delivery, but they don't work for every drug. One alternative is to use hard spheres that circulate in the blood and deliver drugs gradually.
And they do their job to a certain extent, but eventually the body recognizes them and takes them out of the blood, which is body's primary defense mechanism.
That's Samir Mitragotri, a chemical engineer at UC Santa Barbara. He and his team are improving on the hard sphere by making it more like a real red blood cell.
When we expose it to a solvent, it collapses to form a red blood cell-like shape. Then we coat these particles with proteins, and we then take out the underlying polymer template out. What we are left with is a soft protein shell, so to speak, which has the right size, shape, and mechanical properties compared to red blood cells.
Mitragotri and his team hope that the more biocompatible particles will have broad applications in terms of delivering a variety of drugs.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, birds and humans both need their beauty rest, and as it turns out, it's for very similar reasons. And we'll tell you how sperm cooperate in certain species to win the race to fertilize the egg. But if you can't wait for next week's podcast, you can get a daily dose of science by listening to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirschhorn for AAAS, the Science Society.